for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, October the 24th, 2001. Minister's Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. Monty Mulkey of the West Coast Church of Deliverance, Thousand Oaks, California, is the speaker.
Glenn, I'm ready, I guess. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come in your presence this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and praise you, and we ask, Lord, that you'd give us a teachable spirit, Father. Hearts for understanding that we accomplish your work today in Jesus' name. Father, we bind, take authority over every evil spirit that would hinder, cancel, or block your will today in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for what you're going to do for this entire workshop, and that we give all this glory and praise unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, breaking the bondage of gluttony. And I propose we're going to go about this today, trying to break off some of this bondage by addressing the question of why is it that we overeat? Okay? And there's no one simple answer to why we overeat, because it's very personal. Okay? That means it's what one person's reason is can be completely different for someone else, why we overeat. And as you study God's Word, you find out that it's been a problem in mankind from Genesis all the way to Revelation, beginning in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:1. In fact, we'll start with this. We do have a few scriptures. We'll open up with Genesis 3:1. And here, right in the very beginning of time, or at the garden, it says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Yea, you shall not surely die." Now, notice that right from the very beginning, we have an enemy that uses food. Okay? And this is my point in this. It would have been much simpler if Eve would have said, "I'm sorry, my husband doesn't allow me to talk to strange snakes. Go away." But she entered into conversation, and pretty soon the conversation turned right to food, which was to get them away from God's purpose and plan for their life. So there in the beginning, we see that we have an enemy that likes to take and use food and twist it, subvert it from its intended use. In Matthew 11:19, here again we see food being used by the enemy, and we have Jesus being accused of being a glutton. It says, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, He has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, Behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, friend of publicans and sinners." You just can't win, can you? Here John the Baptist came with much fasting and self-discipline, and they said these things about him, and then they turned around and Jesus came and not fasting, and they called him a glutton. We need to consider God's view to, I think, begin to break the bondage of overeating. And I'd probably say that there's almost no sin that God speaks of in tones with more decided abhorrence than the sin of gluttony, or the sin of overeating. What is overeating? Eating more than what your body needs. I want to show you some verses. We want to look at a few verses this morning before I get into some of the main reasons why I think we overeat. Let's start with Deuteronomy 21:20, and this has been mentioned already, this workshop. And it deals with the rebellious son. "They shall say unto the elders of the city, This our son is stubborn, rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Now, interesting verse, and there's so many things in this. Of course, one of the main issues we see here is the rebellion, the stubbornness. But in the middle of that, there's one line that says that their son was a glutton, that he also was a drunkard. That's kind of what we call an oxymoron. How many of you have seen gluttonous drunkards? Okay. Generally, when someone's an alcoholic, they're not obese. They're not a glutton. Okay. So in terms of what we call gluttony, when we think of gluttony, we think of obese. You know, 1,000 pounds can't fit the door through the door anymore. Okay. I doubt that with all the other things that was going on in this son's life that he was not at this level where he was an obese person. Okay. And yet he was labeled as being a glutton. Okay. I think more what we see here is we see the undisciplined spirit, the lawlessness, the hatred of authority and the different issues. It's not that he was an obese person, and yet you see God's hatred of it and the discipline that was to come upon him was stoning him with stones. And the main reason for this at that time was because of how easy these things transferred. Okay. Stubborn, rebellion, will not obey authority. Glutton, and drunkard. Notice all the company that overeating keeps. And this is one of my main points on why overeating is such a large issue and why it's not just a simple thing to overcome, is because of the company that it keeps. Okay. So you rarely will find the problem of overeating all by itself. You're going to find all these other issues. Stubbornness, rebellion, hatred of authority, alcohol problems, discipline issues. There's quite a few things we can look and extract from that. Psalm 141, verse 4. Just quickly, I want to give you several verses here this morning. Psalm 141, 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Now, as we look through Scripture, that's 141, verse 4. We look through Scriptures, we find all kinds of information on how to approach food, how we should be cautious, wisdom, proverbs to live by. And we see that it's important to not get caught up in eating the same way that wicked people do. That wicked people could easily use food as a means of control or to draw you under their power. It goes right into Proverbs 23, verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. We have an enemy. And as human beings, it's just so easy to give over to food. In fact, isn't this how so many times we use food as a means to try to smooth things over or come on, let's go eat together. And we use that as the ceremony, you know, in trying to get what we want or whatever. And here Scripture is telling us, you know, be careful that you don't go and sit down and to eat with someone that's using this food is just a deceiving thing. Yeah. Oh, they must love me. They bought the meal today. No, it was just a bribe so that they could get across whatever they wanted to for your life. And here it says that when you're to be careful, that if you're a man given to appetite, that you're not easily controlled by the enemy through the use of food. So Scripture's giving us warning. As we go through here today, we're seeing different warnings how food can be easily used of the enemy to bring us back into bondage. Proverbs 20, I believe it's chapter 20. Yeah, the wrong chapter here. I don't have the reference for it. Maybe one of you can find this for me. It says, the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Again, we see issues of alcohol associated with gluttony. But the end result, poverty. Okay, thank you. It's chapter 23, verses 20, 21. Why some people don't get complete victory on the eating areas is because of all the other issues related to it. Okay. Alcohol spirits can be at the root of the overeating problem. and I'll talk about this more later on. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. It says, "Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares." Again, a scriptural admonition that we need to watch what food can do. We need to be careful, and we need to be a people that can say, no. Had enough? Thank you. No, thank you. I'm not hungry now. Do you eat when you're not hungry? Don't raise your hands, of course. It's easy to let the cares of this life, it's easy to just give into it. And there are many reasons why. The main reason, as I've already stated, is that we have an enemy. Okay? More than likely, we'll need deliverance in this area to break the bondage. So just briefly, I wanted to give you some scriptures to kind of give you God's view of overeating. Okay? It's a sin. God doesn't grade sin on a curve. Okay? It's being undisciplined, and it's something that Scripture tells us that that's wrong, that we need to stay in authority over. We need to keep it in check and balance. Throughout the years, it's probably been one of the main reasons people come into deliverance for many reasons, but it's been a very common area that people have come to saying, I need deliverance, and this is my bondage. I have trouble with this weight, and I just can't get it off. What were some of these reasons? That's what I want to look at this morning, and we are going to end up with a small mass deliverance, try and get some help. But the age that we live in, and especially the country that we live in, America, has brought us to a point where we've lost a disciplined lifestyle. As we go through time, and especially this last generation, food is just made readily available, and the amount of exercise or disciplineness is just gone. And so we have to change something. Okay? Sometimes I tell people, how is what you're doing working? People say, well, I'm working on my overweight, you know. And I say, is it working? Say, well, no. Okay, then you're going to have to do something different. Okay, if you keep doing the same things that you've done the last 5 years, you're going to get the same results. Okay? If you will change, your circumstances will change. So if you will change, if you say, okay, today I'm going to make a change, I'm going to decide to embrace a disciplined lifestyle. We've talked a lot about fasting already. I highly recommend that. If you would give your body rest, even if you're not doing it for spiritual reasons, if you'll just rest your body from food one day a week, you'd be surprised what that will do. For some of you, it'll be the open door to losing weight. Others, it won't work because there are other issues while you're overweight. But we've lost this disciplined lifestyle. We have modern conveniences that work for us now where we don't have to work so hard. Desk jobs where we just don't get the exercise. And life is just made more and more easy for us. And if we continue to eat the same way as we did when we used to work, it's going to add up on us. Now, one reason why I believe that we are overweight, I explain it this way many times, that the area of being overweight is like leaves on a tree. Okay? And you can go out there and cut off all the leaves on the tree and think, yeah, finally, you know, I went on a slim, fast diet and I'm looking great, you know, but the tree just grows the leaves right back. It just has a new crop of leaves come. You haven't got to the root of it. Okay? If you don't want more leaves in your life, you're going to have to go after the tree. And what are some of these trees? This is where I'm going to with it on this message on overeating. Because if we don't get to the root of these things, it's just going to cycle back around again, which many of you have said that. You know, I went on a diet, I lost 30 pounds, and 3 years later was back again. Why is that? Well, there are certain roots. And if it's spiritual issues to why you're overeating, then just dieting is not going to fix that. We have to go after these things, the spiritual issues. Now, one of the spiritual issues is what we call a fragmented soul. And I like to teach that our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And for most practical purposes, that'll tell you what your soul is. Now, you study through Scripture, and you may have to get the tape from upstairs, I guess, as he talks about the soul. If you've fragmented or damaged your soul, let's take, for example, the area of the will, and you no longer have the will, it's been destroyed, and you just can't choose, passivity, witchcraft, there are a number of things that can destroy your will. If you have no more, if I can use the term willpower, or the ability to say no, when somebody comes, you know, along, you know, and they're passing out samples of cheesecake, you say, no, I've had my quota for today, I can't have that. If you can't say no, you're going to eat because it tastes good. It looks good. So for some people, the will is gone and they can't choose. Paralyzed. Restoration on the soul is going to be an area that you may have to get some prayer in. So if you have a hard time saying no, which what is the reasons for that? Maybe fear of man. Okay. Some of you were raised in a situation where if you said no or answered your parents no, you were severely beaten, or you developed a fear of saying no. And it's like, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know, or I don't want to be rejected. If they pass out the plate of cookies and I say no, then they'll think I don't love them. You have to be a people that can learn to say yes and no. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. And many Christians get in trouble just because they don't know how to say no. Sometimes people say, well, no one ever gave me permission to use that word before. Okay, I give you permission to use the word no. Okay, want to practice it? Repeat after me. No.
No,
no thank you. Okay. In Germany, we say nein danke. You know, they pass the plate around and it's like, no, I can't. I'm fasting today. Thank you. Or later. So, getting your soul restored. Psalm 23 says, He restoreth my soul. Ever study that? It's a very good study. We don't have the time today, but it's an area where many people, because of their soul being destroyed, their mind, their will, and their emotions, if your emotions are all messed up, you're going to go eat every time you have an emotional crisis. And so your emotions have to be repaired. Emptiness. I'm going to give you some reasons now why I see people overeat. Emptiness. And there are many causes for this, we'll call it the spirit of emptiness. A lot of people feel empty in life. Abuse does this. Abuse can come in many forms, sexual, verbal, physical. But abuse creates an emptiness inside of people, and that food is used to fill. It's a filler. And when you are an empty person, food is one of the most readily available things to just try to fill yourself, because your soul is looking for something. You want to be somebody. You want to become filled. You want to not be empty. And so it's an automatic response. Let me say, as we've ministered to many people in the areas of abuse, if you are an abused person, especially for you ladies, sexually abused person, there's an unconscious thinking that, well, if I can alter how I look so I'm not as appealing, then I won't be violated anymore. Okay? So for some people, and quite often we'll find that the sexually abused person overeats. One, out of emptiness, unworthiness. By the way, all abuse brings the same results. Verbal abuse. If you were raised in a home where there was not a civil word ever spoken and hollered at or yelled at all the time, that creates a child that feels empty. Okay. Another reason for emptiness is adultery. Proverbs 6:32 says, Whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. I wish I had time. I could just speak a whole hour just on the spirit of emptiness. But if you have been... If adultery is in your life or in your family lineage, it opens the door for a spirit of emptiness. Okay, and you'll find a lot of people that get caught in the cycles of divorce and remarriage because they're empty. And because they feel empty, they got to go out and find another spouse. But how many of you already learned that marriage doesn't cure emptiness? Yeah, won't cure loneliness either. If you enter into marriage lonely, you'd just be married and lonely. Okay, and you'd... Right. Marriage doesn't cure emptiness, okay? Not having a life Okay? Another reason for emptiness. Wrong career. Okay? Many people live out their life because they've allowed other people to choose it for them. Okay? The father that didn't get to fulfill his dreams as a sports player, so he's going to live his life through his son. And the son goes, I don't want to play football. I want to write. I want to paint, you know, or something. If you're not using your gifts and your talents, okay, if you're not who you are, if you don't know who you are, we've coined a phrase, get a life. Now, if you don't have that, emptiness works in there. And the more empty you are and the more empty you feel, the more you will turn to things such as food to try to fill it. Wrong career. Life having no meaning, no purpose. And abandonment and also grief are two other areas that the spirit of emptiness works with. You've been severely abandoned, rejected. You will feel empty, left, alone. And it's very easy to try to nurse the pains of hurt and grief with eating. Another entirely different area with overeating is false comfort. Okay, have a book back there on the counter, How to Receive Comfort, and it deals with the areas of false comfort. We have devised all kinds of way to comfort ourselves, and this is not new, by the way. I mean, they use food to comfort, even in scriptures. Judges 19:5, it says, talks about comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread. Okay. And the booklet is directed at that. Whenever we need comfort, the first thing we do is we go to all of our favorite styles of comfort. But the thing is that they're false comforts because they really don't satisfy. And the only way you're really going to get comfort is from the God of all comfort. But when you're hurting, when you need to be comforted, instead of turning to the hostess Twinkies, you've got to break out God's word and say, Lord, this I'm hurting. Okay? You need to put a sign on your refrigerator. There's no comfort in here. Okay, so when you go to open the door, it's like, oh, why am I eating? Why am I opening the door to the refrigerator or the counter, you know? It's like, well, because I feel empty or I feel hurt, therefore I'm going to fix it with a little food. It won't work. For many people, they overeat because food is a source of comfort. Okay? Starts from youth, you know. The baby that won't quit crying, what do? We poke a bottle in his mouth, you know, and give him a blanket, you know, and so he becomes addicted to these things, and the rest of his life, you know, instead of being able to turn to God, he has all these other things that he derives comfort from. Okay? As you can see, that some of these are large areas, and what might be one for one person may not be one for another person, and you're going to have to go back to the root of the tree and find out what it is. Your family lineage may have been that wherever there was a pain or anything else that they turned to food. Nobody talked to each other, so we just ate. Depression. Many people eat out of depression. Other people quit eating out of depression. But depression may be the root cause of why you're overeating. Okay? There can be addiction or just the habit of it. The habit of overeating, especially addiction. Let me mention that there are several addictions, but there are certain things that are highly easy to get addicted to, such as sugar. Alcohol, you know, I mentioned earlier in the message the close coordination between alcohol and overeating. That's because alcohol, when it breaks down in your body, breaks down and digests as a simple sugar. I have so many people that come up and say, praise God, Pastor Monty, I've been delivered from alcohol. And what they meant to say was that they no longer have a problem drinking. But drinking alcohol just opens the door for demons to come in. And once they're in, they don't care whether you keep drinking or not. They're already in. And then they continue on. But we've discovered in many people that even though they quit drinking, they still carry the addiction of sugar. We've got several slogans, such as candy is dandy, but liquor's quicker. You'll find that many people, when they quit drinking, that they next thing they turn to is chocolate or sweets. Okay? So alcohol is a simple sugar. And for those of you that your family lineage was, or your upbringing was with a lot of alcohol, You may have a weight problem due to addiction to sugar. Carbohydrates are also addictive. Okay? That's why the slogan of no one can eat just one. Why is it? Because, you know, potato chips are nothing but carbohydrates. And carbohydrates sets up a cycle of immediate addiction. And when you eat carbs out of balance, it creates a cycle where you've got to have more of it. This is why it takes a disciplined spirit to say, you know, no, one small potato, instead of keep going. So when you get caught in the cycle of carbohydrates, and that's your main diet, then they create a cycle of addiction, and it calls out for more of it. So carbohydrates are very, very addictive. Another area why we overeat, fear, worry. Many people, when they're afraid, the first thing they do is turn right to food. Nervousness, got to have something to do. Insecurity is often tried to be conquered with oral stimulation. Okay? You'll find a lot of people that when they're nervous, what do? They turn to eating something. You know, give me something. Let me have something in my mouth. You know, many spirits of fear we've discovered in this area. Fear of starvation. If you had ancestors that went through the Great Depression, they may have passed down to you the spirit of fear of starvation. And so you say, well, I might get hungry, so I better eat. You had a wonderful mother that said, you need to eat. You might get hungry. Fear of never getting to eat again. Okay? Now, when these fears are gone, then that urge, that push to go and have more than what you need is not there. Great Depression fears, what we call. Some of you may have lived through that time era or had ancestors that do, and that was a very common response when there wasn't enough food to go around, and so they developed a fear of not going to eat again. Now, the reason we overeat is just going back to the beginning of the message, is our lifestyle. Just not enough exercise. Okay? The reason why we add weight to our body is because we don't burn up all that we eat. Very simple process. When you eat more than your body burns up, it stores it in little cells called fat. Okay? Without getting into that too much. So you store anything in excess. And overeating is basically eating more than what your body needs. We eat more than we burn up. Paul, I got a message I did on this where I just went with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Let me share this verse with you. It's one you can print this out and put it on the dashboard of your car. He says, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Okay? Paul says we need to keep our body in subjection. We need to tell it when it can eat or how much it can eat. It's an interesting verse, interesting word, that word castaway. If you look that up in the Greek, it means to be rejected under testing. It means it's a picture of a military leader not found fit for leadership. And he says, you know what, I don't want to be rejected from this position that God's given me, so I keep my body under subjection. Lack of fasting. We've already mentioned this several times, but we've lost this, especially in America. We've lost fasting in lifestyle. Okay? Very good for spiritual reasons. For you to be able to walk close to God is to bring your body under subjection. And I'd recommend to fasting one day a week. Fast from sunup to sundown. Just start with something simple, if you can. But try it one day a week. Give your body one day a week rest from eating. Okay? Just cut back. You know, but it's hungry. Well, tell it to be quiet then. You know, I'm not listening to you today. Shut up. You know, tell your body that you know you're not going to talk to it. Say you can eat when I tell you you can. Okay, tonight you can wait till tonight. See, what is that? Undisciplined. We got to have it now. But I'm hungry now. What's wrong with being hungry? See, we've somewhere in our belief system or our upbringing, we have this thought that if you're hungry, that means something's wrong and you need to take care of that. Well, things will happen to you if you go hungry. Right? See, we have to fall out of agreement with some of these thinking. Nothing harmful is going to happen to you to be hungry for 6 hours. Okay, you're not going to die. Tell your body you're not going to die. Be quiet down there. Okay, you can live, you can survive until the next meal or till the fast's over. But we've lost this as a lifestyle. For some people, the reason why they overeat is because of missing nutrients in their diet. And without getting into nutrition too much, let me just sum it up with this. Your body does not count calories. Okay? Those of you that got into calorie counting and you say, okay, I've only so many calories per day, it doesn't work. Your body counts nutrients. And if your body is short of micronutrients, what it does, if it's short of any nutrient, protein or anything that it needs to be able to sustain life, if your body's short that, what it does is it sends a signal out to you and says, hey, you're short of protein. Not quite. It just gives you a hunger signal. And you go, gee, I'm hungry. Take, for example, your body says, hey, you need some protein. And you go, oh, I'm hungry. And you go eat a handful of potato chips. Guess what? You didn't get any protein out of that. And the body says, hey, I'm still hungry. Right? So your body counts nutrients. It doesn't count calories. And anytime it's short something, it sends you a signal to go and eat that. And I'm going to give you an example. Your body's short of potassium. And so one day you walk by the table and you go, gee, that banana looks good. Why? Because your body's trying to tell you, you need some potassium. Okay? Banana's really a good illustration because when you're not low on potassium, bananas don't look appealing at all. Okay? And after a while, once you get used to trained in and cued into your body's responses, you'll begin to pick up when your body's telling you that you need certain nutrients. But if you try to meet the needs of the missing nutrients with the wrong thing, the body keeps sending the signal out, eat, eat. This is why some people say, I eat, but I'm never satisfied. Well, that's simple. You're eating the wrong thing. We do a lot of deliverance in California on the vegetarian spirits. Okay? And in fact, you'll find scripture even talks about it, that it says, watch out for those that teach doctrines of demons, such as abstaining from eating meats. Okay? And a lot of people, oh, well, you can get protein from other sources, but you'll find a lot of weakness and anemia to the body just because people don't have the right amount of protein for their body. And that varies. It varies between men and women. But if you're not getting protein, you're not going to have a strong, healthy body. And there are some people overeat just because of these spirits, such as the vegetarian spirits. I'll talk about it at the end here. But missing nutrients. Another part of lifestyle is that we, as Americans, often eat at the wrong time of the day. Okay? Now, there are various body types. For one person, the best thing you can do is eat a good, well-balanced breakfast. Another person, yours may be a little bit later in the day, and you've got to identify and recognize what is your body style, how does it operate best. Okay? But there is one time of the day that is the worst time to eat, and that's right before you go to bed, right before you go to sleep. If you fill up on the 7-course banquet meal, and you gorge yourself and then go to bed, what you're doing is you're denying your body rest and sleep. Okay? You're trying to say go to sleep and rest, but it can't rest when it has to work. It has to work overtime. So stay away from the heaviest meals right before bedtime. Actually, for my personal life, my heaviest meal is like 4 o'clock. And that's because I still go late into the night. I may go to midnight. And so it gives my body a good 8 hours still to digest and to work off my bigger meal. So you may have to change some lifestyle. You may have to say, no, I can't eat like that before I go to bed. And you'll find out that in the morning then, if you change from eating your heavy meal before you go to bed, you'll find out that when you wake up in the morning, you might be hungry. And then you eat then in the morning. And you may have to change lifestyles as well as getting deliverance and so on. Another area, I just had a wonderful testimony on this one, is that food can be an idolatry, hidden idolatry. You're all aware of idolatry when it comes to open idolatry, which we say is like the statues of Buddha or artifacts, you know, which is idolatry. But Scripture has even more to say about hidden idolatry. And there are a lot of things which are idolatry that have no resemblance to a statue. I have an entire message just on the spirits of hidden idolatry. Stubbornness is a hidden idolatry. Forget where that's where stubbornness as rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. Okay, if you're a stubborn, hard-headed person, you're committing idolatry. You know that? And God hates idolatry. Basically, idolatry is loving or putting anything else in your life more than God. And it can be anything. Okay? I used to idolize my guitar. When I first came to the Lord, boy, music was everything to me. I idolized my guitar. Might be that nice shiny car you've got, or it could be your marriage, or it could be food. 1 Peter 4:3 gives us a whole, I'm just going to give you one verse on this hidden idolatry. But we have a whole list of things here, which is idolatry. And as you study idolatry, you'll find out that it sets you in direct conflict with God. God destroys the things that we idolize. A lot of destruction comes in. 1 Peter 4:3, it says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries." Okay? Basically, you could say that that whole list of things, all of those are idolatries. Banqueting. How do you tell if you're idolizing food? Okay? What part does food play in your thought life? Okay? Now, for some people, they think about food all day long. What I'm going to prepare next, or, oh, how I can make this taste better, or ooh, wouldn't they? And they actually literally dream or think food all day long. Okay? Now, it was just 2 weeks ago, I taught this in a workshop at California on hidden idolatry, and I had one of my young pastors there, and this was his life. He just could not get away from thoughts of food all day long. And we broke curses of family line idolatry and just come against the spirit of idolatry of food. And I spoke to him 2 weeks later, and he says, "I can't tell you what a night and day difference this is." He said, "I haven't thought about food all day long." Okay. What's going on in your thought life? That's an important part. You're going to have to bring captive your thought life. And if all day long you're thinking about food or how you're going to prepare it, food's going to be a problem to you. Scripture tells us what to think on. It says, think on these things, whatsoever is good, pure, honest. There are many things that you need to be checking your thought life with. And so many people, all they do is think about, what's my next meal going to be? Okay? You know, the right thought life to have, whatever is set before me, that I'll eat. Food has grown to the point in idolatry where it's more important than it needs to be. Okay? See that you get a balanced diet, but so what? What is food? Why is it more important than it should be? Food, the purpose of it is just to sustain our body. You know, I go out and eat with people. I mean, we do different things. You don't have to become a monk, so to say, when it comes to eating, but do you give food more importance than it's supposed to have? All it's meant for to do is sustain your body so that you can get on with your life and to work for the Lord. So it can be a sin issue. It can be an idolatry. Wrong emphasis placed on food. What were some of your family beliefs growing up when it came towards food? Did you hear over and over, got to have 3 square meals a day? Well, if you worked for it, if you worked in the hay field, burned up all that energy, yeah, you might need 3 square meals a day. But let's say you're not doing that amount of work anymore and your family life is, something terrible is going to happen to me if I don't eat 3 great big full meals a day and you're only doing 1 meal's worth of work. Okay? You're going to have to cut back what you eat. In fact, for a majority of people, 2 meals a day is plenty. Now, if you have some health issues such as sugar diabetes, high, low blood sugar problems, you need to be more sensitive, and you need when your body tells you that you need something, you go eat. But you don't have to eat a 7-course meal to take care of that. You know, just go get some whatever you need. But there have been many people get free just because of the wrong beliefs that they were taught, that something dreadful is going to happen to me if I don't eat 3 meals a day. And it's forced on you or pushed on you. You may look at food as a reward. Okay? How many of you do that? You reward yourself with dessert? Okay? Is food meant to be a reward? How often is food used as a means of showing or expressing love? Okay? People, again, that are bound in the soul, that their emotions are their bound, or they have an inability to express love, they say, well, I'll cook for them. No, go give them a hug. There are so many times in our life we were raised that the only time love was shown to me was with food. And so if you don't get food, you think, what's the matter? They don't love me because they didn't cook this great big meal or whatever. You may have to break some of these patterns, these type styles of thinking, so on. Food is not meant to be used as a reward or as a discipline. There are some family curses that sometimes come down different nationalities. And you may have to just break off curses and come against the demons. There are some nationalities that they're shorter and wider than other nationalities, you know, and so they have to have a different lifestyle. And there are some times where we just hate ourselves. You know, if you're what we call a heavy-framed person, you're not going to look like Miss Twiggy. Okay? That's because that's how your body is built. And you have to get to a point where you love and accept yourself. You may never be extremely thin, okay? But you don't have to carry extra either. You know, they discovered a unique thing in the concentration camp, because many people have tried everything. They've dieted, they've done everything, and they just can't get any help. And so there's a hopelessness that sometimes prevails over people trying to get victory over weight. And there was an encouraging thing that they discovered in the concentration camps. Every person lost weight. This took some longer than others, but if you quit eating, there'll come a point in time where you will lose weight. Okay? It may take longer for others. There are several things that you can do as a believer. Your cells in your body that store up the extra food that it didn't utilize, called the fat cells. Within a cell, if you were to look at the makeup of a cell, there's what's called little doors or gates in every cell. And for some people, they have a high metabolism, and these little doors open right up, and it uses the stored food right away. Other people, these cells just refuse to open up. They go, nope, she's going to starve. And the cells actually do what we say, they turn rebellious or stubborn. Or the fear of starvation. How these things all work, I don't know how the demons work, but they literally can work clear down to the cellular level where your cells that are storing the fat just refuse to open up. And so even though you're not eating, you're fasting and starving yourself, it's like, but the weight won't go anywhere. That's because the cells have something's triggered in it that tells them starvation mode. And you'll find some people said, actually, when I started eating a little, then I started losing weight. But as a believer, you have authority to command those cells to open up. Jesus has given us authority over all things. So when you're doing whatever you're doing, exercising, dieting, whatever, to try to lose weight, command your body, command those cells to open up so that that fat can be utilized as energy. Okay, and that also might be the spirit of stubbornness. It might be the spirit of rebellion, which you're going to have to change those. As I said before, if it's spiritual issues that are causing your weight problems, you have to deal with those issues. You can't continue to go through life rebellious, stubborn, alcoholic, idolatrous, and not get victory over weight. Okay? The weight issue, all that is the fruit. It's what shows. It's the symptom of deeper problems. Okay? This is quite an area when it comes to eating. Actually, there's two sides of the coin. We have people that need as much deliverance that are kept demonically thin by their demons. Spirits of anorexia, I'm afraid I'm going to be rejected. When I did this message here a while back, I had a lady that went into severe manifestation. I called out fear of gaining weight because her husband told her over and over, if you gain weight, I'm divorcing you. Okay? And so she said, I've got to stay thin. So she utilized some of the other demons that she had in order to stay thin. Cigarette smokers do the same thing. Well, if I quit smoking cigarettes, then I'm going to gain weight. Now, and you're just trading demonic kingdoms. So it's as wrong to maintain diet with another demon as it is to not take care of diet. It's an amazing thing. When you get into deliverance, you find all kinds of areas that need to be dealt with. And that doesn't mean that they should go out and gain weight, but the reason why some people can do some things is because they have demonic power to enable them to do it. For some people, weight loss may not come because the motives are entirely wrong. Not because it's good, correct, the right thing, or how God would have you live. If your motive is, I've got to lose weight so that my spouse will love me more, it's not going to work. Your motives have to be pure, just, upright. And so you may have to examine some of your heart motives. Why is it that I want to lose weight? Actually, I go into this in the booklet. We have a booklet back there that's called The Acceptable Sin in the Church, which that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment, and it's overeating because we will preach with thunder and fire and brimstone against all other sins, but not overeating. Okay? And in fact, we help each other do it. Here, have some more. So that's why I entitled that. But in that booklet, there's that area where we need to look at the motives of the heart. A lot of people want to diet or lose weight just because I want to be loved and accepted. That's another major reason why people come to deliverance. They come to deliverance. I've been so rejected. Can I get prayer on that? Well, certainly. Yeah. We can get rid of the spirit of rejection. It won't stop the rejection. What? I said, well, when you get delivered, they're going to reject you too. Probably even more. The more you follow the Lord, the more the world will reject you. So deliverance won't cure rejection, you know. It just will get you delivered from that so that it won't hurt when you're rejected. Okay? Because you'll be rejected even more. Just thought you should know that. One way to look at some of these issues of overeating is to go back to some of your first memories about food. Okay? What is your first recollection of food? Was it forced upon you? Did you have to eat out of fear? I did a message on the spirit of hatred one time, and one guy really manifested, and I thought, wow, it was quite a prayer session he got, and I went up to him later, and he said, Pastor, you know what it was? I said, no, tell me, because it was evident that he got a lot of deliverance. He said it was hatred of salads. And some of you have hatred of certain food types, you know, those little green things, you know. It's like, don't put that on my plate, you know. And you may need to get some deliverance in other areas as well. But he had a hatred of salads because as a young boy, like two or three times a week when he come home, that was what Mom had prepared for him. He said, I come up with all kinds of way not to get home for lunch. He said, I would stall, I'd play at the playground, and he got deliverance from that. And he said, you know what, I can eat salads again. And it's not that he didn't like the taste of salad, it was what he felt was being forced on him. Okay? I remember a particular incident when as a young boy, we were eating one of them green things, you know, and I just start to gag on it. And my father literally forced me, he says, you will eat that. And it took me a long time to get over my strong dislikes of either spinach or asparagus or whatever. But there are a lot of bondages that go back to some of your first memories of food. And you can get some good deliverance by going back to that. Okay. Well, hopefully I've covered some things that will give you an idea that the issue of overeating goes way deeper than just the amount of food that we put into our mouths. And we have to go to the root of it. And for some of you, you may have to say, Lord, show me. What is my problem? What is it? Why is it that I'm drawn to this? Why is it that I can't say no? And he may just say, you need to discipline yourself more. You may be trying to fill a void in your life. And if you're trying to fill a void in your life with food, you'll never win. Okay? And so you may have to get to the root of some of these. And the emotional roots, such as abuse and emptiness, depressions and fears, these are so common to all of us. And we need to get victory over them. We need to take victory over them. And you'll find that as you approach some of these things as a new lifestyle, that your weight will change. And you have authority over your body. I want to mention that again. If your body is, you put it on a diet and you've been fasting and it ain't going anywhere, start commanding your body to lose weight. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I command the weight to come off my body. And try using some of your spiritual tools in accordance with some of the physical tools. I don't know that I recommend that you put a knife to your throat like the one verse says, but tape might help. You know. Don't go around the places that, if you have a high susceptibility to certain places, then don't go there. Because once you're there, it's too late. The enemy's already defeated you. Okay? If you can't stop eating, then don't go to the places that set out the banquet table. Now, don't go to the banquet houses. And it's like I tell the guys that have spirit of lust, I say, don't go to the beach. You know, duh. There's some obvious things you should do. Don't buy at the grocery store the foods that don't require any preparation. When you go to the grocery store, don't go hungry. That's the worst time to shop. Okay? Go when you're after you eat. And then buy things that are good for you, such as fruits and vegetables and salads and things that you have to cook. You know, my kids say all the time, gee, there's nothing in here. You mean, oh, you don't want to cook. If there's all kinds of things in the cupboard, they just don't want to cook it. They want something that, you know, pop in the microwave and away they can go. It's amazing how all of these fast foods are almost all totally carbohydrates or high fat, which are the worst things. Not that you can't have some in your diet, but it's having too much of it. So you can win. I do want to impart some hope for some of you that have been battling this area. You can win. But you may have to do some soul searching. You may have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, honestly, Lord, show me, why is it that I'm overeating? Why is it that I'm not gaining or losing weight even when I attempt to? And don't get discouraged. I mean, if you're 500 pounds overweight, you're not going to lose it in the first day. But if you begin to implement right principles and right thinking and right lifestyle in a matter of time, you can gain over that. Chris and Norman both mentioned the fasting once a week. Try that, and you'll be surprised that after about 6 months, you'll have a new mental framework of discipline in your life. And you know, when you get victory in one area, it quickly spreads to another area. And you'll find out that if you can gain some discipline in one area, that pretty soon it'll start spreading to other areas. And many times, the area of eating is the last area to go. But I want to encourage you, and we could go into numerous reasons of the health benefits of eating correctly and the length of our life that we can gain just in eating correctly. I started to mention in the acceptable sin, one reason we've got to look at is that what a selfish issue this is when we will shorten our lives because of what we're doing with food. And I began to look at this when I started seeing that, hey, you know what, I'm responsible to people now. Even past my wife and children, now all of a sudden other people I'm responsible to part of their life. They look to me for things. You know, and if I eat wrong, and if I shorten my life 10 years or so just because I'm living incorrectly, that's 10 less years that they could have me in their life. And so I began to look at that in my life. Overeating many times is just wrapped up in a selfish issue, not thinking of other people, of what this was doing. And for, I can say this because this is supposed to be a pastor's conference, for those of you that are God has put you in a place of responsibility, other people, do it for them. Okay? extend the length of your life by taking care of your life for those people, so that you can be here longer for them, so that you can have more strength and energy for them, okay? And I know firsthand how hard it is to lose weight. I wasn't always thin. I wasn't obese, but it was an area that had a lot of shame, a lot of rejection, and I understand all that. And you can get victory over it. It's not going to be something that you get victory over in one day on it, but I think with some deliverance, you can see some fantastic results quickly. We have a few minutes left, so I'm going to lead us in a mass deliverance. I'm going to just break some curses here and come against some of these things that may be causing you to overeat. I think that if we cry out unto the Lord, we have a God that wants us to have victory. That you have a God that will show you. He will explain the reasons why and where the bondage is at and where the enemy has kept you bound. So, Father, we come into your presence today in Jesus' name. Lord, we do ask that you would set us free today, that you would give us victory over this area of overeating, that you'd continue, Lord, to help us maintain and grow a disciplined spirit, Father, in our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over each and every curse, family line curses, things, Father, that bind us with the bondage of overeating and gluttony. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we break every and all family line curses in Jesus' name of overeating. Curses that would cause us to idolize food or the preparation of food. Curses that would cause us to have wrong importance on food. We break this off, Father, and we ask, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to develop your mind. Lord, let us see and understand food from your perspective and not our own in Jesus' name. Satan, I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I come against every evil spirit, every enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that causes us to overeat, every spirit that deceives us, every spirit that uses food to weaken us in Jesus' name. I take authority over you. As I name you demons, you must loose God's people and come out of them. I'm going to do a short deliverance here, and you just take a deep breath and tell them all to go, especially your area. In Jesus' name, I take authority over all false comfort, the false comforts of food, all spirits of overeating, cravings, addictions, gluttony spirits. In Jesus' name, I take authority over all these, and I command that you loose God's people in Jesus' name. Every bondage in Jesus' name, all spirits of fear, depression, emptiness, abuse, any spirits in Jesus' name that cause you to overeat, every spirit that would cause you to turn to the refrigerator or to food instead of turning to God when you need help in Jesus' name. I break the power of that, the bondage that works in your mind, your will, and your emotions. Father, I also pray that you would restore people's souls, restore their will, Father. Help them, Father, to begin to have the will to choose, to develop a disciplined spirit. Restore their emotions, Father. Restore their mind, Father, so that they have right, correct thinking toward food and its purpose and principles in our life. In Jesus' name, I take authority over all demons that infiltrate the soul and cause us to eat the wrong time, eat the wrong type in Jesus' name. I break off all curses of alcohol and the addictions and cravings for sugar in Jesus' name right now. The addictions and cravings to carbohydrates, we come against that. I command all spirits to leave in Jesus' name that come in with that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I loose into your people. I loose spirits of discipline. I loose a disciplined spirit, Father, into your people in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'll give them a disciplined mindset, disciplined will, disciplined emotions, Father, and just help all the people in Jesus' name to be able to put food in this right place, this right perspective. If you want anointed, just raise your hand. I'll come around. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come against and break off all the bondage, all the demons, Father, in Jesus' name, that pushes to overeating. You release God's people in Jesus' name. We cancel all your plans, every spirit that would work in Jesus' name, forcing us to overeat. Getting it on your hair. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on right now. We command all the doors to those cells to open in Jesus' name, to release that. No matter how hard they fast or diet, the food that just never goes. And I command those doors to open in Jesus' name right now so that comes out of all of God's people. And on those listening on tape, I command it out in Jesus' name. Right now, I take authority over all spirits, false comfort, the false comfort of overeating. Come on, right now, move out. Move out. Using food as love in Jesus' name. Using food as acceptance. Using food, idolatry of food. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask forgiveness of the sin of idolizing food, idolizing cooking in Jesus' name. And we command all the demons to come out right now. Move out, demons. Come on, everything up and out. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, move out. Move out. We have authority over you. Come on, move. Move in Jesus' name. That undisciplined spirit, rebellion, stubbornness in Jesus' name. Any and all spirits, Father, that have caused us to eat incorrectly. Rebellion, stubbornness. Come on. Selfishness in Jesus' name. Come on. Whatever you are, name you are, demons, you come out. Loose God's people in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for a victorious spirit. Give your people victory in Jesus' name. Some paper towels. Come on. There we go. Come on, right now in Jesus' name. Come on, everything up and out. Move. Move out. Just breathe them out. Tell them in your mind to go that you're taking back your body. You'll tell it when to eat and what to eat instead of it telling you. Come on, let's go, demons. Come on, move out. Move out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, spirits. Come on, move. 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 Overeating. Cravings. Cravings. Addictions. Demonic cravings in Jesus' name. Let's go. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Set your people free today, Father, we ask. Demonic craving, spirits, Father, in Jesus' name, that create certain addictions and cravings. Come on, move out. Sugar addiction, carbohydrate addiction. Come on, let's go, demons. Come on. All the demons that just bind you in this one little area. Come on, move out. Move out. Breathe them out. Push them out, angels. Father, I loose more angels to come in here. Take them out of here where Jesus would have them to go. Come, help us do battle. Pull them out of here. Set your people free. Give them victory over this, Father. Father, I pray for a discerning spirit in every person that they can discern and find out what the root of this.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.